Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, your host for the program. Happy and blessed to be here with you today. Thanks so much for joining me. And if you're listening here on Friday, September 23rd, it's the feast of the holy Italian Capuchin priest who was given the stigmata and suffered greatly to make reparation for the sins of mankind, St. Padre Pio. St. Pio was a victim soul, a victim priest, truly exemplifying the priestly mission to live in persona Christi. This is my body given up for you. And St. Pio did this literally as he bled from the five painful wounds of Christ marked on his body for more than 50 years. St. Pio understood deeply the horror that sin is. As a result, he often gave stark warnings in his preaching and in the confession. And to the modern ear, he would have come across as too stern and perhaps even uncompassionate. And this is especially true when it came to the sin of abortion. In a book written by one of St. Pio's fellow friars, Father Pellegrino Funicelli, a story is told about how Father Pellegrino had once confronted the saint about why he had denied absolution to a woman who had undergone an elective abortion. "Why were you so rigorous with this poor, unfortunate woman?" Father Pellegrino asked. Aside from being enlightened to know that the woman was not truly sorry for what she had done, Padre Pio told him, "The day that people lose their horror for abortion will be the most terrible day for humanity. Abortion is not only a homicide, but also a suicide. Shouldn't we have the courage to manifest our faith before those who commit two crimes within one act?" "Suicide?" asked Father Pellegrino. "The suicide of the human race will be understood by those who will see the earth populated by the elderly and depopulated of children, burnt as a desert," came Padre Pio's reply. Father Pellegrino admitted that he was not used to talking about abortion, nor did he like to do so. He also wrote in his book that he accused St. Pio of being too harsh on this issue, lacking compassion for the mothers and their situations. St. Pio's reply was, "Insofar as it defends the arrival of babies in the world, my harshness is always an act of faith and hope in our encounters with God on earth. Unfortunately, as time goes on, the battle becomes greater than our strength, but it must equally be fought because, from the certainty of failure on paper, our battle draws the guarantee of true victory. Brotherly harshness is of greater value than all the sentiment in the world put together. The race that does not accept respect for man from the time of his conception is destined to an ignominious end because it distorts the concept of love of neighbor, mistakes it with egoism, and cannot conceive the love of God at all," St. Pio told Father Pellegrino. Now, St. Pio certainly granted absolution to those who were either involved in procuring or having an abortion if they had true contrition for their sin. He also sincerely empathized with the difficult or troubling circumstances that some of these women had found themselves in. But he told them that murdering their own child was never the answer. He said that even a lost woman, when she feels and defends her maternity with such beautiful strength, not only redeems herself, but without realizing it, she becomes holy. God transforms the lowest human miseries into beautiful things. There's also another extraordinary story given in a testimony by a woman who went to St. Padre Pio for confession. She relays how, as soon as she got into the confessional, St. Pio was inspired to say the following words, "Close your eyes and tell me what you see." Though surprised by the request, the lady, knowing the sanctity of St. Pio, did as she was told. Immediately, she was given a vision. "I see a large square," she said aloud, "with many, many people. And among all these people, I see a procession. And it's moving along very, very slowly and very solemnly." She went on, "In the square, I see many, many priests, and there are bishops and cardinals there. And there's also a pope ascending to the throne. Yes, now I see a pope on the throne. The great multitude is very jubilant and cheering, and it's all very beautiful. But what does this mean? She asked St. Pio. Padre Pio's answer was a grave one. That was the child in your womb killed by abortion. He was to have become pope in God's plan. The woman screamed and collapsed right there in the confessional, knowing just how serious her sin was. Well, these couple of accounts involving St. Pio remind us how momentous is the sin of abortion, the killing of the unborn. And they should inspire us too, like St. Pio, to offer up our own bodily sufferings and our prayers in order to help obtain graces for the conversion of souls and to make reparation for the overflowing bloodshed that, validated by many signs around us, is indeed becoming the suicide of the human race, just as St. Pio had warned. So though the success of our movement to end abortion and bring about purity in the culture does indeed look bad on paper, we know who our leader is and how he has already conquered death and brought life to the world. Therefore, victory is guaranteed if we but persevere in his name. Let's pray together now and then take a quick look at the news. Most Holy Mother Mary, as you carried your divine child in your womb, you rejoiced and glorified the Lord. Touch with pity the hearts of those women pregnant in our world today who think of murder, not motherhood. Help them to see that the child they carry is made in God's image, as well as theirs, made for eternal life. Dispel their fear and selfishness and give them true womanly hearts to love their babies and give them birth and all the needed care that a mother alone can give. Inspire all of us to support and nurture a culture of life, a culture in which no man or woman would even consider ending the life of a child yet unborn. Mary, Mother of Christ, show us all one day the blessed fruit of your womb, Jesus. Amen. And let's go now to this week's in the news. Exactly 1 week after having taken effect, Indiana's law banning abortion with limited exceptions has been temporarily blocked by an Owen County magistrate. Judge Kelsey Hanlon is claiming that the new statute violates Article 1, Section 1 of the Indiana Constitution, which says that all people have a right to liberty. Indiana's abortion ban restricts personal freedom by making autonomy largely contingent upon first experiencing extreme sexual violence or significant loss of physical health or death, Hanlon wrote in her decision. She went on to say that there is a reasonable likelihood that decisions about family planning, including decisions about whether to carry a pregnancy to term, are included in the state's constitution. Hanlon's ruling means that as of now, abortion is again legal in the state for any reason up to 20 weeks, with pre-existing regulations also in effect. The Attorney General's office is expected to ask for a re-examination of Hanlon's decision and will also likely ask for a halt on the injunction while the appeals process continues on. Responding to the injunction, Indiana Right to Life CEO Mike Fichter stated, "The blockage of Indiana's new law means over 161 unborn children will continue to lose their lives to abortion every week this injunction stays in effect. We are encouraged by the judge's acknowledgement of the state's legitimate interest in protecting unborn babies and are hopeful the blockage will be brief." In a further attempt to intimidate and tyrannize pro-life pregnancy centers, seven prominent Democrats, including Senators Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, have sent a letter to Heartbeat International demanding to know how the organization uses the data that women provide to them. Heartbeat International, which is explicitly opposed to abortion rights, appears to be in a position to collect a significant amount of personal information from women about their pregnancies and potential plans for managing their care, but it is not under any legal obligation to maintain the confidentiality of this information or keep it out of the hands of abortion bounty hunters, the senators wrote. The senators also accuse Heartbeat International of luring pregnant people to crisis pregnancy centers by using a variety of false and misleading tactics. Heartbeat International is a pro-life association that supports the largest network of crisis pregnancy centers in the world with over 2,000 affiliates in 50 countries, providing services including pregnancy tests, counseling, ultrasounds, parenting classes, and maternal assistance for moms and babies. Since the leak of the draft in the Dobbs case, pregnancy resource centers throughout the country have been under attack by abortion supporters, including some being set on fire, having windows broken, and graffitied. Finally, thanks be to God, no abortions were performed at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood this past week because of the abortion ban. It's likely that abortions will resume this coming week with an injunction now placed on the pro-life law. The Fall 40 Days for Life campaign begins this coming Wednesday, September 28th. Lots of help is needed to cover the Bloomington Planned Parenthood in prayer for at least 12 hours every day until Sunday, November 6th. Be sure to sign up for prayer time there at 421 South College Avenue by going to 40daysforlife.com/Bloomington. And that's your weekly in the news. Last week, we talked a little bit about the state of California, whose abortion laws are held up by abortion advocates as a model for other states. We also mentioned that its governor, Gavin Newsom, a self-professed Catholic, is a radical abortion supporter and is totally behind Planned Parenthood and other abortion organizations. Well, the state of California and Governor Newsom's efforts to spread their evil ideology is in full swing. On September 15th, the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, Newsom announced that his administration had just launched billboards, in their own words, in 7 of the most restrictive anti-abortion states that explain how women can access abortion care no matter where they live. To any woman seeking an abortion in these anti-freedom states, California will defend your right to make decisions about your own health, Newsom's tweet read. The 7 states being targeted are Texas, our own Indiana, Mississippi, Ohio, South Carolina, South Dakota, and Oklahoma. Specifically for Indiana, Governor Newsom tagged Governor Eric Holcomb, saying that the people of Indiana will be seeing these as they drive to work today. Newsom's message was written above the image of what is on billboards here in the state. The billboard image itself reads, "Indiana does not own your body. You do." Learn more at abortion.ca.gov. That website is a taxpayer-funded abortion resource site that encourages women in pro-life states to travel to California to have their unborn babies legally killed there. Governor Newsom also had a message for Mississippi's Governor Tate Reeves. "The people of Mississippi deserve to know they have access to the care you are refusing to provide. This will be launching in your state today." The billboards going up in the Magnolia State read, "Need an abortion? California is ready to help." Learn more at abortion.ca.gov. And then below that, there is a scripture verse from Mark chapter 12, verse 31 that says, "Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these." Well, as Shakespeare and Chesterton and many others have said, the devil can quote scripture for his own purpose. And the irony of using that scripture verse about commandments and then totally ignoring the 5th commandment, "Thou shalt not kill," is hard to believe. And what closer and more intimate neighbor is there than that of a mother and her child? Well, sadly, this self-identifying Catholic is doing all he can to make California a sanctuary for abortion. My guess is Newsom is also trying to solidify his re-election as the highest-ranking official in the Golden State come November. Governor Gavin Newsom needs our unceasing prayers for a change of heart, so please be sure to include him in your daily prayers and sufferings, as well as for the women who will see these billboards and be tempted to end the life of their child. Now, immediately after Roe was overturned in the Supreme Court's Dobbs decision, abortion supporters began to make many claims about what the lack of abortion access would do to women and families. Not surprisingly, these assertions were full of misinformation, designed to be used as scare tactics. Thanks be to God, though, that the 7,000-member American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists, or APLOG, launched their own campaign to correct the record and to assure people that the sky was not falling. The group decided to provide fact sheets and a social media campaign as rebuttals to the claim that abortion is necessary for the health and well-being of women. They issued a statement at the end of August that read, "The American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists is launching a new campaign to address misinformation with facts. This is all part of our mission to empower women with information so that they can make fully informed healthcare decisions, as well as to empower OBGYN healthcare professionals with the evidence needed to defend their practice of life-affirming medicine. Together, we can clear up the myths that are circulating and get the facts out there. And by doing so, we'll help provide both mother and child with the best healthcare possible." The Pro-Life Group put together a 6-page fact sheet with the title, Myth Versus Fact, Correcting Misinformation on Maternal Medical Care. And I wanted to run through some of the points and counterpoints that are contained in this awesome fact sheet. Again, put together by members of the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists. Now, one of the first myths listed in their fact sheet is the statement, restrictions on abortion are an intrusion on the relationship between a doctor and a patient. Now, to be completely honest, that declaration is quite laughable. When they do abortions there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, an abortionist whom the women have never seen before drives down, spends maybe 10 or 15 minutes with them, and they're done, and they never see her again. If they end up later having complications from the abortion, which happens not with any infrequency, it's not the abortionist whom they seek help from. It's usually the medical personnel in an emergency room. And APLOG's fact sheet makes it clear. Since there is no relationship between the abortion doctor and the patient, there can't be an intrusion. So when abortion supporters try to say that abortion is between a woman and her doctor and that to come between that relationship is dangerous and unethical, that's a total fallacy and it needs to be called out. The next myth that these pro-life OBGYNs address is the statement that unrestricted abortion access is necessary for providing life-saving care for pregnant women. In other words, we'll hear it said a lot, some abortions are necessary to save the life of the mother. APLOG states, however, that an elective abortion is not life-saving medical care. They say that 93% of practicing OBGYNs do not perform elective abortions, but have always been able to offer life-saving treatment to women, and laws against abortion will not affect this. When medically necessary to treat a life-threatening medical condition for the mother, they say, doctors can end the pregnancy in a way that respects both patients' lives, which is vastly different from an abortion, which directly and intentionally takes the life of a human being. They also bring up the important point that any competent OBGYN is trained to discern when they need to intervene to save a mother's life long before the threat to the mother's life progresses to the point where death is imminent. Another urban legend that APLOG tackles in its fact sheet is but women with ectopic pregnancies and miscarriages won't receive the care they need if abortion is banned. CBS News tried its hand at such fear-mongering when they ran the title, People Will Die. OBGYNs explain how ectopic pregnancy and other complications threaten lives without abortion care. APLOG responds by stating that the difference between a miscarriage and an elective abortion is clear. In a miscarriage, the baby has already died, and therefore any treatment of a miscarriage would not be an abortion. The procedures and treatments used for miscarriage management are not prohibited by abortion restrictions. And an ectopic pregnancy requires removing an embryo to save a mother's life so that both lives are not lost. This life-saving treatment is not prevented by any current law restricting or banning abortion. Claiming that it is only serves to confuse women and potentially cause critical delays in care, they said. Now, there was a recent example of this misconception when the model and television personality Chrissy Teigen used a painful miscarriage in her life to ultimately promote abortion by trying to further conflate a miscarriage with an abortion. So in 2020, this beautiful woman and her husband, who already had 2 children, lost their unborn baby named Jack at 20 weeks to a miscarriage and preterm delivery. But speaking at a recent event, Teigen tried to rewrite this heartbreaking event by calling it an abortion. She said, let's just call it what it was. It was an abortion. An abortion to save my life for a baby that had absolutely no chance. And to be honest, I never ever put that together until actually a few months ago, Teigen said. The timing there sounds pretty suspicious to me when just a few months ago the Dobbs decision came out. So let's clear up what an induced abortion is versus a preterm delivery, which Teigen endured with little Jack. An induced abortion is an act where the intent is to produce a dead child. A preterm delivery is an act that is carried out in a medical emergency when doctors are trying to save the life of the mother, the child, or both. Given that Jack was only 20 weeks old, his chances of survival were very small. The couple did not want to kill their baby, and the doctors did not kill Jack. Therefore, Tejan did not have an induced abortion. She had a preterm delivery, which gave the best shot for both her and her baby surviving. The action of performing a preterm delivery remains completely legal, even when induced abortion is outlawed. Sadly, Tejan went on to say in that little talk she was giving that what she went through with Jack enables her to sympathize with women who get abortions because she is one of them. I told the world we had a miscarriage, Tejan said, and the world agreed we had a miscarriage. All the headlines said it was a miscarriage, and I became really frustrated that I didn't in the first place say what it was, and I felt silly that it had taken me over a year to actually understand that we had had an abortion. It sounds like Tejan has been listening to the many myths being peddled by abortion supporters and the mainstream media. Or she may have even allowed herself to be convinced by a friend or family member that what she actually had was an abortion. I wonder how many other women who have been through a similar tragedy like Tejan now believe that they actually had an abortion instead of a miscarriage or a preterm delivery. It's important, therefore, that we keep reinforcing the fact that an elective abortion intentionally kills an unborn child. A miscarriage and preterm delivery do not. And the care received by women undergoing these misfortunes is not outlawed if elective or induced abortions are made illegal. And this is the types of misinformation that APLOG is trying to correct, thanks be to God. Yet another myth that we hear perpetuated so often by abortion supporters is that maternal mortality is going to increase as a result of the Supreme Court's ruling. The Guardian even ran a headline that said, "A matter of life and death. Maternal mortality rate will rise without Roe," experts warn. APLOG says that the fact is the data clearly shows that restricting abortion does not lead to an increase in maternal mortality. They say, the U.S. has had nearly unfettered access to abortion for nearly 50 years, while maintaining one of the worst maternal mortality rates and preterm birth rates in the developed world. Women deserve real solutions to improve their health and that of their children, they add. They also go on to say that studies from a diverse range of countries suggest that abortion is actually associated with higher maternal rates and restrictions may lead to improved maternal health. A study from Mexico found that states with laws restricting abortion had lower maternal mortality rates overall than states with more liberal abortion laws. In South Africa, maternal mortality worsened after abortion was legalized. Now, the bottom line in all of this is that the availability of abortion doesn't make a country any safer in protecting the lives of women. We could do a whole other show on the subject of why the U.S. sees such a high maternal mortality rate. It's terrible, especially considering that we are so prosperous and have top-notch medical aid available. With 17.4 maternal deaths per 100,000 live births, the U.S. ties for the 57th worst rate in the world, right alongside Ukraine, Latvia, and Romania. And the rate has been rising steadily for the past several years. Again, this in spite of abortion being legal. So why is this so? Well, there are a number of factors, including the personal health habits and lifestyles of mothers. Obesity and diabetes certainly come into play and are responsible for things like preeclampsia and hypertension. But another very interesting and important element to consider was found in a study done in November of 2021 that showed that homicide is the top cause of maternal death in the U.S. More pregnant women die from homicide than from all the leading medical causes of pregnancy-related death. 2/3 of the homicides occurred in the home with domestic disputes, and 70% of the deaths involved firearms. Non-Hispanic Black pregnant women were killed at a rate more than 8 times higher than non-Hispanic Black women who were not pregnant. What needs to be asked is how many of these homicides occurred because the woman refused her partner's request to have an abortion. We've seen numerous cases showcased in the news headlines of how this indeed has been a man's motivation for murdering a pregnant woman and her unborn child. So when abortion proponents claim that the maternal mortality rate will rise because of Dobbs, we need to be ready to counter this myth and educate others about the real reasons why pregnant women are dying. Well, we are approaching the end of our time here today, so I'll have to end with that point that is included in the abortion fact sheet put together by the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists, designed by the organization to correct the misinformation being perpetuated that there is a medical emergency and that women's lives are at stake since the Supreme Court's ruling in Dobbs. I want to get to a couple of other quick local newsworthy items so that you could be praying for the organizations and people involved. IU's School of Medicine has just announced that because of Indiana's abortion ban, it will be sending their OBGYN residents to hospitals in Illinois. Dr. Nicole Scott, the OBGYN residency program director with IU Health, said, "Abortion care training is still a requirement for OBGYN residents, and Indiana's new legislation limits that to some degree for our resident doctors. We firmly believe that abortion is a part of a comprehensive gynecological training, and we still want to provide that training for our residents," she added. Scott also commented to news sources that IU is concerned that the abortion ban will have residency candidates thinking twice before they practice in Indiana, and that it will even affect the quality of the candidates. Oh, pray and plead the precious blood of Jesus over Indiana University, its School of Medicine, and IU Health. And finally, as was mentioned in last week's program, but it's so important that we want to bring it up again, the city of Bloomington is using taxpayer dollars to help women get abortions. Mayor John Hamilton is asking the Bloomington City Council to join in dedicating $100,000 for grants to help women kill their unborn children. And in the 2023 budget, Hamilton laid out how up to $2,500 for traveling and lodging expenses would be given to city employees to travel out of state for an abortion. Bloomington joins a growing list of larger U.S. cities and states across the country who are funding abortion providers and organizations using taxpayer dollars. Places like Atlanta, Georgia, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Austin, Texas, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Nashville, Tennessee, and several others. We'll be working on getting more information on this so that we can help you to contact the mayor of Bloomington and the city council to voice your grave opposition to what they have planned. In the meantime, please be lifting up Mayor Hamilton and the Bloomington City Council in your daily prayers. I'm out of time. Thanks so much for your prayers and support. Until next week, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.